Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Welcome back. Let's talk about digital identity wallets, because they are having such a moment right now, at least for the people who spend their day thinking about standards, protocols, governance, and all the delightful complexity that comes with trying to make digital identity work at scale. Now, in some circles, digital wallets aren't just like one topic among many. They're like the only topic, the only thing they talk about. And a lot of that momentum is coming from the European Union. Now, under eIDAS 2, every EU member state is required to deploy digital wallets and verifiable digital credentials that work across borders. And that's an enormous mandate, and it's shaping conversations well beyond Europe. Meanwhile, in the US, you know, we also worry about the digital wallets and verifiable digital credentials. But the whole discussion looks a little bit different. Deployment is happening primarily state by state as DMVs explore mobile driver's licenses, or MDLs, and test where those newer credential formats might fit inside existing systems. It's not particularly coordinated. It's not particularly harmonized. It's very much a patchwork of efforts. And yet this patchwork now coexists with the EU's push towards broad alignment. And of course, other regions of the world are all adapting this to do their own thing as they need to. Now, for most people, this simply shows up as there is more stuff on my phone. I mean, maybe an airline ticket here, a government wallet there, and depending on how things shake out, a dozen more icons they weren't actually expecting. And even though the phone is where most of the action is happening, desktops still matter, right? Regulators, lawmakers, product teams, and infrastructure architects all view these changes through very different lenses. Regulators see more places where intervention might be necessary. Architects see a sprawling web of browser layers, operating system behaviors, protocol decisions, and wallet designs that all need to interoperate cleanly for anything to kind of work at all. And I'm sure it's going to come as a great shock. Sometimes that interoperability kind of breaks. Now, we've seen things like this happen. I'm going to point back to the AWS outage back in October. Headlines immediately blamed the DNS. But of course, the DNS protocol behaved exactly as the DNS protocol should. The failure wasn't in the DNS protocol, it was in the implementation layer, the tooling that AWS uses to feed the DNS. So the shorthand of what actually broke didn't reflect the reality of what actually happened. And I use that example because a very similar pattern is emerging now around digital wallets and verifiable digital credentials. At last week's W3C TPAC meeting, I really did lose track of the number of times I heard something along the lines of, well, it's the digital credentials API's fault. It's the DCAPI that's the problem. And just like saying it's the DNS, saying it's the DCAPI is becoming shorthand for an entire stack of browser operating system and application behavior. And it's a shorthand that I think, unfortunately, obscures the real issues. So let's back up just a minute and start with some of the basics. Why do we even have layers in the first place? Don't they just confuse matters? Well, I would say no. Well, maybe they do confuse matters, but they are there for a reason. The web is layered by design. It's not an accident. It's one of the foundational architectural principles. Browsers enforce security boundaries between websites and users. They're kind of like the traffic cops of the web. Operating systems manage device trust, hardware access, and the permissions that lets apps talk to one another. Wallets specialize in credential storage, presentation, and the user experience that surrounds all of that. Protocols define how information moves between those different components in interoperable ways. And it's kind of really important to remember that no single layer can, nor should, control the entire flow. Fragmentation here is intentional. It's what keeps the ecosystem healthy, flexible, and resistant to single points of failure. But when political urgency meets a system designed around distributed control, confusion is like almost guaranteed. If you want a broader primer on the different standards bodies and protocols and how they fit together in a wallet ecosystem, I actually wrote a piece earlier, it was actually last year, called The Importance of Digital Identity Wallet Standards. And that walks a little bit through how we got to where we are and why the layers interact the way they do. But today I really want to focus on one specific layer, and that is the DCAPI. So the DCAPI, the Digital Credential API, is a protocol under development at the W3C. It's not a standard yet. It's not a wallet. It's not an operating system level API. It's one layer in a much larger system, and its scope is very, very narrow. Here's what it actually does. So the browser receives a request to present a credential. That request uses a specific presentation protocol. If you want to geek out, that's usually either the ISO 18013-7 NXC from the mobile driver's license ecosystem or the OpenID for verifiable presentations from the OpenID Foundation. Anyway, the DCAPI then passes that request down to the operating system. The operating system then hands that request to whatever wallet or wallets are installed on the device. And if the credential needs to move across devices, because like you have something on your phone and you need to get access on your desktop, that's absolutely a thing. And the DCAPI relies on something called the Client to Authenticator Protocol, or CTAP, which is developed in the FIDO Alliance to make that happen securely. Now, pause for a minute and think of just how many standards organizations I just mentioned. I mentioned ISO, I mentioned the OpenID Foundation, I mentioned the W3C, I mentioned the FIDO Alliance. Anyway, so the DCAPI's job is to connect the browser part to the wallet part. Everything else happens either above that layer or below that layer. Now, Tim Capalli has done some excellent work documenting this layering in a more visual format. And if you want a picture to go along with that narrative, go to the written blog post. There's a link there for that. So there's a really interesting parallel here. If you've been around long enough in the identity space, right? Years ago with identity provider discovery, some stakeholders wanted browsers to verify which identity providers should be shown to the user. They wanted a trusted, independent layer that guaranteed accuracy and correctness. And now we're seeing echoes of that conversation because some people would like the DCAPI to verify that the quote-unquote right wallet is being invoked or that the credentials being selected are being, you know, selected in a trustworthy way. But that kind of oversight isn't actually in scope here because the DCAPI doesn't govern the UX. It doesn't verify correctness. It doesn't audit the platform. It only bridges protocols into the operating system. Now, I admit I'm fully biased here because I'm one of the co-chairs of the W3C group working on the DCAPI. And as part of my role, I spend a lot of time keeping the specification tightly scoped to the layer it can actually influence. Outside of this working group, however, the DCAPI gets kind of used as a catch-all term for wallet behaviors, operating system decisions, protocol limitations, and everything else swirling around this space, which is where a lot of misunderstandings happen. So, a couple clarifications here. One is that the DCAPI supports multiple presentation protocols, but browser, operating system vendors, and wallets don't actually have to support those same protocols if they don't want to. The DCAPI can, it's agnostic. It can carry that ISO NXC. It can carry the OpenID for VP. It doesn't intrinsically care. But whether the support across the entire ecosystem happens in the same manner, it varies. And what that looks like is that Google actually supports, sure, if you feed us something that comes through NXC presentation protocols or through the OpenID for VP, fine, we support both. Apple, however, does not support both. It only supports NXC. Third-party wallets will choose based on their product direction and their own requirements, and government-built wallets will choose based on policy, privacy, and interoperability requirements. So while the DCAPI can support multiple protocols, the world around it is not uniform. And at this moment, only one vendor is fully supporting the stack needed for the most robust implementations of this kind of ecosystem to work. The alternative, if you don't use something like the DCAPI to actually feed information back and forth and handle the protocols, is to use something called a custom URI scheme, which are not, to say the least, ideal from either a security or a privacy standpoint. And there's a link to more about custom schemes in my post. So the second clarification I want to do here is that the DCAPI technically allows for multiple wallets to exist on one device. That's something else specified in the protocol. But that doesn't mean the ecosystem is ready for that yet either. Multiple wallets introduce all sorts of unanswered questions. How should a device present wallet choices? Does a wallet advertise which credentials it holds? What happens when different wallets prefer different protocols? Those are really good questions, and none of those are questions for the DCAPI as it's currently scoped. But misunderstandings around that routinely land at the DCAPI layer's feet. Okay, so if these really aren't a DCAPI problem, why is the DCAPI under so much pressure? Well, this comes down to quite a bit of regulatory influence, particularly from the European Commission or the EC. Now, some of the EC's requirements would need changes to happen at the operating system platform layer. That's the layer that governs the platform APIs, the secure storage, the inter-app communication, and hardware-backed protections. But that layer, that OS layer, is proprietary. No external standards bodies govern it. Regulators can't directly influence it through the standards process. What regulators can influence, again, in the standards process, are the protocol layers, like the OpenID Foundation's work on OpenID for VP or ISO's work on NXC. But OpenID for VP and NXC are all basically finalized. The European Commission can request clarifications, but they can't reshape the protocol in time to meet deployment deadlines. So one of the things they do is to turn to the DCAPI. Because the DCAPI is still in draft, it's one of the only open standards-based venues where regulators can place requirements for transparency, security, interoperability, and oversight. Of course, when those requirements target behaviors outside of what the DCAPI actually controls, it's a problem. Some of the expectations cannot be met without OS-level changes, and the deeper issue here is that governments need predictable, enforceable behavior from digital wallets. They need the same behavior across browsers, devices, and vendors. But if support for NXC or OpenID for VP varies by platform, and if wallet behaviors differ across operating system layers, then governments are left with only two choices. They only got two. They can either regulate the platforms directly, or they can mandate interoperability requirements that implementations must meet. So you could almost say that they only have one choice left, and that's regulation. Neither of these levers, regulation itself, that's not what the DCAPI is currently designed for, right? The DCAPI can expose capabilities, but it cannot enforce consistency across implementations. Now, regulators, they've got a mandate. They've got to handle the safety, privacy considerations for their population. So they aren't wrong to feel frustrated here. They want outcomes. They want stronger security. They want clearer transparency. They want technical mechanisms that support oversight, better privacy protections, that kind of thing. But they're trying to achieve those outcomes, at least in some of the conversations I've been in, through a layer that can't provide them as it stands. Now, there is some hope, or at least it seems to be a working theory, that by placing pressure on the DCAPI, operating system vendors might eventually address their behavior, which is kind of a long game, and it's definitely not a comfortable one for anyone involved. But wait, there's more. There's another dimension to this story, and that's the W3C's Technical Advisory Group, also known as the TAG. The TAG recently published a statement called Preventing Digital Credential Abuse, which outlines risks associated with digital credentials. Imagine that. They talk about tracking risks, surveillance potential, exclusion, and a whole spectrum of harms that can emerge if guardrails aren't in place in this whole verifiable digital credential ecosystem. Now, their guidance is deliberately quite broad. They look across browsers, wallets, protocols, and policy environments because that's kind of their job to think about systemic risks. But like the EC, if the EC, you know, doesn't go straight down the regulation path, the TAG's influence is limited. Browsers can mitigate some risks. OS platforms can mitigate others. Wallets can add safeguards. Protocols can decide what to expose. But no single layer can solve the whole thing. So yeah, the European Commission has that something that the TAG doesn't, and that's the ability to regulate. They can force platforms towards specific implementations, though that does come with its own political challenges. And this is why, you know, there is so much pressure. There's pressure on the politics, the architectures, on culture around the whole digital credential space right now. Everyone's trying to look after the whole ecosystem, even though no one layer controls it. This is also why some stakeholders are beginning to wonder whether we might eventually need a whole new layer, one explicitly designed for governance, a layer where wallet-facing and platform-facing behaviors are standardized in a way that regulators can rely on, rather than inferred from proprietary implementation details. I mean, if governments want consistent privacy controls, consistent wallet selection behavior, or consistent transparency requirement, they may eventually have to either regulate platform behavior directly or create a standards-based layer that can afford that kind of oversight. Which brings us to that broader landscape, right? Digital wallets and verifiable digital credentials are being deployed globally, but the gravitational center of policy influence remains in Brussels. The Brussels effect is real. You can feel it in discussions across the W3C Federated Identity Working Group, across the OpenID Foundation's Digital Credentials Working Group, and really across the entire standards ecosystem. I wouldn't say that political pressure is inherently bad. Sometimes it's the only thing that moves standards work forward at all. But when that pressure targets the wrong layer, I mean, we're going to get predictable issues, which are boiled down to misaligned expectations. You're going to have rushed architectural decisions, poorly targeted requirements, and unfortunately, kind of a retreat to less secure approaches, including things like custom URI schemes, because they're easier to deploy under tight timelines. Some expectations simply cannot be met without changes to the layering of the current technical solutions, and achieving the desired outcomes, especially around privacy and transparency, would require OS vendors to expose platform behaviors publicly or implement new layers that afford regulatory oversight, standardized control, or additional protocol features. Which brings us to my closing, right? The DCAPI is increasingly used as a shorthand phrase for the entire credential presentation ecosystem. And that's understandable, and maybe it's even unavoidable, but it isn't accurate. Protocols live in different standards bodies, implementations live at different layers, governments and companies make different protocol choices. So when inconsistencies show up across implementations, it's kind of tempting to say, well, maybe the DCAPI should just be more prescriptive. And yes, it is technically possible to redesign the DCAPI into a more controlling, more opinionated layer. But that has very little support within the working group, and there's good reason for that. A protocol-agnostic DCAPI protocol preserves permissionless innovation. It prevents any one protocol or architecture from dominating the ecosystem. It exposes capabilities. It doesn't dictate how wallets must behave. If governments need consistent, enforceable behavior across platforms, and many do, these guarantees are going to have to come from somewhere else, either from regulation or from a new standards-based layer. But I don't think they come from the DCAPI. Now, if we want secure, interoperable digital wallets, we're going to have to name the right problems and assign them to the right layers. And expecting the DCAPI to control behaviors outside its remit isn't actually going to get us where we want to go. So I think the real work starts with a good question. Which layer is responsible for this component? And then once we've got that, we can move on to the more important question. How do we manage these layers to best support and protect the people who actually uses technology? Everything else is going to follow from that. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.